Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 26th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason coming to you today from the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. Blue Jackets, bright futures. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bossert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, we'll have the latest on attempts to convene a conference committee on energy legislation. The Senate version of the Farm Bill is headed to the floor for debate after moving out of committee, and the EU is adding to its list of approved GMO commodity varieties. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. The Closing Market Report, made possible, by the way, with support from Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647. Or on the internet at grainfield.com, and by AgriGold Hybrids. Funding agricultural commodities and programs is an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. Taking a look now at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade as they've finished at the CBOT on this Friday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit like this. December contract at $8, the settlement price 2 cents lower. March contract 822, three quarters higher, and the May contract up 4 cents at 784 and one half. December corn futures 372, up 5 3/4. The March contract at 388 and three quarters, up 5 3/4. And May corn $3.99 a bushel, 6 1/2 higher. December next year up 4 1/2 cents at 419 3/4. November soybeans for the day, $9.95 1/2, up 3/4. January futures at $10.13 1/4, up 3/4. And the March contract up 3/4 as well. In the bean pit, $10.27 1/2, the settlement price. Next year's Nova beans at $9.71. They finished 3 1/2 cents higher on the afternoon. December bean meal futures at $2.77.80, down $1.70. December bean meal at $2.80.60. January, rather, down $1.80. December bean oil, 46 higher at 41.38. From the Mercantile Exchange, October live cattle, 94.37 1/2, $1.02 1/2 lower. December futures in the live cattle pit, down $1.12 1/2 at 95.12 1/2. November feeder cattle, $1.40 lower at 109.05 a hundredweight. January futures at 108.20, they were down $1.57 1/2. And December lean hog futures, 7 1/2 cents lower at 54.52 1/2. February contract at 61.47 1/2. They finished down 17 1/2 cents for the day. Outside markets, crude oil finished the day at $92. Actually, they're still trading. They're up $1.54 at this hour. January futures at $90.15, up 91 cents a barrel. The CRB index at 346.04, up 3.72. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,783 is just about 111 points higher for the hour. Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Wow, what a week in Chicago. Let's start out by talking about the big drop in the wheat pit on the week, down something like 55 cents.
Yeah, it was a 6.5% drop on the week for December futures. And, you know, most of it continues to be traders see a lack of demand, and they see the lighter spread trade. They see the weaker spread trade. That really was pronounced today, where the decent March went down pretty substantially on the close, kind of came back a little bit. But, you know, the July was up around 13 to 15 cents on the close. But when you see that return to the carrying charge market in wheat, and you see a move below that $8 level and that trend line we violated a couple days ago, Todd, it seems like that all the bulls moved to the sidelines waiting for demand to come back. And the export sales, I think they were down 56% versus the four-week average. That kind of sealed the deal and was the icing on the cake for the wheat to finish out pretty hard down for the week. And I think that's where maybe moving to another increment sale, another 10 to 15% increment sale of new crop wheat is probably a good recommendation to make right now, and what we're recommending to our clients right now, because we do have the spread breaking down. Probably the two biggest things to watch here next week would be the KC Chicago wheat. When we did see any lift in Chicago, it was usually based off the KC turning around, and that makes sense given the weather in the southern plains. The other thing we're watching is the wheat corn spread. It's in a true technical correction. it could go another 30 to 50 cents lower if it wanted to. But if we would find a bottom in the KC Chicago spread, a bottom in the wheat corn spread, then we'd hold off on any future sales. But breaking that trend line tells us we want to go ahead with another 10 to 15% here.
So another 10 to 15. We settled at $8 in the lead option, 55.5 cents lower for the week. Your expectations to break through that $8 barrier
on
the settlement price next week?
Exactly. Without some really good weather, I guess, you know, it goes back to the bean oil and some of the other outside markets. They're getting very revved up. They're pegged on their RPMs as far as their stochastics and their momentum on the long-term charts, and it gets you very nervous that you're going to have a downdraft here. And so the other thing it goes back to is a July wheat. You know, we settled up almost 15 today at 677. That's close to the high for the day. And when you look at it from a standpoint of the overall chart, July wheat at 677 is, you know, within 25 cents of its contract high. So we don't feel bad about, even though basis is 60 to 70 cents, we don't feel bad about letting another increment go here, and there's a lot of folks out there with smaller acres of wheat that we can put them into option strategies that they need to.
And speaking of the bean oil, did it make a 23-year high this week again? Is that right?
I had read today that it was a 32-year high top, but I could not confirm that.
Well, you know, I'm dyslexic, so I might have read it backwards. 23 or 32, it's one of those two.
Yeah,
so.
But it, you know, that brings up a good point. I think the bean oil is getting very similar in its look fundamentally and its look technically, like wheat did at 960. It's getting very thin air territory when it comes to the stochastics and the momentum and the longer term charts. And you're also kind of killing your demand off here. We noticed a big drop between the last couple weeks and this week. The crush margins were back down to around 40, 42 cents all the way out to July of 08 on the crush margins for beans, meal, oil. So you're starting to hurt the demand market, and you're also starting to carve into the technicals pretty nicely. So I would say at this point, we're going to have to start watching the bean oil, much like we did when the wheat went above 950, that at any given day it could just be time to pull the plug by the speculators. And certainly that should be led by the crude oil, but it's not always the case.
Let's talk a little bit about South America. Planting is underway there, and sources apparently on the floor are saying that some of the action in the bean pit was hedging by South American farmers today. Did you get that from your floor sources too?
Yeah, we did, and it's probably very welcome for them because of the currency markets. They really have been wanting in that March and May, July futures. They really have been wanting that 1025 plus level, and March cracked through the 1025. May was up around 1040 at one point. July, I darn near got to 1050 at one point today. So, yeah, that was probably a big issue in the markets, especially those back end futures. We kind of a split up trade today where the meal was one side of the market, the oil was one side of the market. You had that middle bean futures trade being South American hedging. Then you had the Novo 7 with the option expiration and a lot of open interest there with those $10 calls. So kind of a four or five big issues hitting the trade all at once in the bean complex.
You know, I was reading one analyst was thinking that we might be in the midst on the corn side and probably the beans too with a post-harvest rally. Would you think that might be the case? And how hard would we have to go in order to confirm something like that?
You know, I kind of feel like at this point when we talk about it around the office that this is a good place that if you would go higher, a call option in the funds are probably going to be the way we would want to go after it. And if we would go lower, you wouldn't really sell if you were a farmer unless you had a 25 or 30 cent price break. And then everybody that's bullish right now would turn into a negative bias because the technicals would be working against you. So we're in the mindset with a good basis and good flat price on the cash, go ahead and let it go, especially if you're not, you know, up to that two-thirds, three-quarters of the way sold. Let it go and come back in with some January options. Then you don't have to pick highs. I would say the other thing, too, is we're probably in the same spot we were last month at this time. If we go back up to the old contract high and take that old contract high out, Todd, we're probably pricing in on the November 9th report another big yield decline and ending stocks decline. So USDA probably is going to need to feed the bull if we get into these lofty territories, you know, above 1020 and no futures.
Let's talk a little bit about next year's crop, corn in particular, beans as well. Protecting income, we've been doing this all week long about protecting income based off new cash rents that are coming in, what you're putting into your inputs for anhydrous ammonia, which is on the way up, and protecting some income. I know you took a look at the FarmDoc website and entered some numbers into their lease agreements, but how do you view next year's commodities at this point and what farmers should be or should not be doing with marketing and looking at their agreements with landlords?
I think from a market perspective, price trend perspective, I think we're a little bit more nervous about the Novo 8 beans being probably more in terms of giving more downside to the price than we would be the DSO 8 corn right now. We suspect that in order for Novo 8 beans to keep a price of 970 and be only 20 cents difference from the Novo 8 to be 20 cents from the Novo 7 price, you're going to need to have great fundamentals all the way through this year, and I think that's kind of hard to ask of the market at this point, especially given the slowdown in some of the steel demand, the copper demand, the crude oil. Even though it's rallying, the demand has not been stellar, and so these prices are affecting the demand at this point. And so I think maybe the beans have a little bit more downside. We're a little bit more eager to defend those prices. We're going to work on a strategy for those that, you know, do seed bean production and can't hedge it on the cash market until springtime. But going back to the FarmDoc website, the paper that you sent, I would highly recommend the listeners download that from Professor Schnittke. I would highly recommend they buy the FAST tool. I think it's only $60 or something like that. We've had it for 3 or 4 years. It's an invaluable source. But I think when we looked at the cash rents versus the farmland ownership, even though mathematically cash rents are more economic, it's more economic to be in a cash rent situation, and maybe the farmland prices would say cash rents need to go up when you look at a 10-year interest rate or that capitalized value that Professor Schnittke talks about. I think our view would be, given the data, cash rents probably need to be less than farmland values in relationship to each other, because I think the renter is taking on more and more responsibility. You've got the pricing responsibilities of the crop, you've got input responsibilities of higher input costs, and you've got a higher debt load. You can't really use your land value and your land assets as a way to go to Farm Credit or go to somebody that, you know, lends money to you if you're a cash renter. So I think it's pretty well balanced right now, and I think when I talk to clients this week about it, the market's already adjusting somewhat. I've heard a lot more cases of variable cash rents where the rent floats based upon either price or inputs or both, and these 3 to 4 year documents, these 3 to 4 year leases, agreements, whatever you want to call them, they're pretty binding, and both parties seem very happy. And one guy in particular, you know, up near Cabri, Illinois, said to me, it takes kind of the emotion out of it where the one party doesn't feel like the other party is getting taken advantage of. And so it seems like the market's doing its job by finding some of these other types of ways where the two parties can come together. But when I ran a 2/3, 1/3 corn-bean rotation, used 180 bushel corn and 50 bushel beans, $3.75 corn price, $9 bean price, interesting to note that when the cash rent was $180, guess what? The revenue for the landlord was $180, and also the per acre revenue less the total costs for the renter was $180. And so you can see where the input costs and the higher cash rents, you know, are starting to filter in, and both sides under that type of scenario are getting a square deal with each other, would seem to me.
Hey, Mike, you have a good weekend. Send Sherman my way to here to Indianapolis to the FFA convention, and we'll talk to him during Commodity Week this afternoon at Brian Mabel's office at FC Stone.
He's on his way. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you much. Mike Zuzolo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joining us here on the Closing Market Report, coming to you from the FFA convention in Indianapolis, Indiana. Blue Jackets, bright futures at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. His name, of course, is Steve Hilberg. Here's the way the forecast lays out from our own Ed Kieser for this evening across the two-state region. Cloudy, periods of rain. Lows will range from 44 to 49. Tomorrow, in western Illinois, mostly cloudy early, then becoming partly to mostly sunny. In eastern Illinois, mostly cloudy. A few widely scattered showers. Those will be primarily during the morning. And in Indiana, cloudy, widespread showers. Highs ranging from 53 in northwestern Illinois to 63. In the far south, wind speeds tomorrow 12 to 24 miles an hour. The extended forecast highlights for the two states: dry weather expected on Sunday through Wednesday of next week, and only a few scattered showers appear possible later next week. So a good spell of open weather expected right for the late season field work. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's efforts to form a conference committee on the energy bills continues to be blocked by the bill's opposition. The procedural motion for an energy bill conference committee to justify differing House and Senate measures is being stalled by key Senate Republicans and Michigan Democrats Carl Levin and Debbie Stabenow on behalf of the auto industry. The Senate bill has a fuel economy provision that would create a single standard of 35 miles per gallon for cars and trucks by 2020. Reid has expressed favor for the standard. The Senate Agriculture Committee sent to the floor a $288 billion farm bill yesterday that includes a new optional commodity program for farmers. The average crop revenue program is expected to provide savings on crop insurance premiums on corn and soybeans, but a deal struck on ACR changes the payment structure from all acres planted to 85% of base acres now used for direct payments. And once producers opt for ACR, they must remain in the program for the length of the farm bill. National Corn Growers Association President Ron Litterer says that makes ACR less attractive.
Not sure we're going to get everything we want, but we certainly think that it's one that we need to work to continue to change and educate folks about how it really does work. There was a lot of misinformation that came out in the last 2 days that I think we can address, and hopefully we can change some minds. We can make the case that we need to make some improvements over the final draft that came out.
ACR also includes a pilot program that will allow Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin producers who enroll to plant fruit and vegetable crops on up to 10,000 acres a year, as long as the crops go directly to canneries. ACR would begin in 2010. Meanwhile, Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says floor debate could be spirited.
Overall, I'd say I think that we're going to have pretty good support on the floor. Now, we're going to have minimums. Don't get me wrong. We're going to have a payment limitation in the grass seed organ. And I have every reason to believe that it will pass. There may be some other amendments to put some more money into the TFAP program and food stamps that Lugar tried in committee and that I think deserve to be revisited on the floor. Nutrition. Conservation, I think people are interested in putting some more money into conservation, and rural development. I think those are the three areas that didn't get quite what they should have gotten, and I think there'll be efforts on the floor to increase those.
Farm bill debate on the Senate floor could occur the week of November 5th. And the European Union has approved three biotech corn varieties, increasing the number of hybrids grown in the U.S., which may be exported to the EU. Five other hybrid types are yet to be approved in any form, and there are seven hybrid types that have not been approved in stacked form, although their individual traits are approved for shipment to the European Union. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, coming to you today from the FFA convention in Indianapolis, Indiana. Blue Jackets, Bright Futures. Agricultural programming on WILL, by the way, made possible by Farm Credit Service of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance programs, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Speaking of beginning farmers, I'm surrounded by four gentlemen who may or may not be beginning farmers in the next several years. Right now, they're FFA officers in the state of Illinois or at the national level, one of two. They are at the state level or their chapter level. I got that all wrong. FFA officers at the state level or at the section level. Tanner Spittler, Ben Wormrest, Jared Brown, and Sam Mateer are with us. And Tanner, let's start with you. Tanner is state reporter for the state of Illinois. You're about a third of the way through your year as state reporter. Tell me where you're from and how the first third of your officership has gone.
Well, I'm from a small town called Kansas, Illinois. It's down in Edgar County, in between Charleston and Paris. And our first third of the year just got over about 13 days ago, the 13th of this month. And so first few months has been very packed, very energetic, and very exciting. I've been able to meet a lot of people go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and go to a few other states that I've never been to before. So great opportunities that have come along, and luckily I've been able to take them and have some fun with it.
Tell me a little bit about the National FFA Convention. How many Blue Jackets are here?
As of right now, this session just started, and Casey Bahar from Illinois, our National Secretary for the Year, announced 49,000, just over that. Hopefully by the end of the week we'll have about 60,000 here, though. So.
And they come from how far away?
They come from all over. We have associations in every state, along with Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. So I know there's some representatives from Puerto Rico here. I'm not sure about the Virgin Islands, but definitely from all over Alaska, Hawaii, every state.
Ben Wormrest with us, too. He's a Section 17 president. You're not too far from Champaign, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm actually from Cibolo, Illinois, which is just north in Ford County.
Have you been over to the convention center to see the career day or the career event? And can you talk a little bit about what this means to you as an FFAer, as somebody who will be looking for a career, whether that's in the farm community or someplace else in the future?
Yes, the career show is over in the RCA Dome, and they have various businesses and colleges, so it's a great opportunity to talk to places like John Deere, Tractor Supply Company, and also you can talk to different colleges like the University of Illinois, and Parkland Colleges are there also.
What have you been doing as your year in, as president of Section 17?
We've had go to various meetings with the section, and also we attend the state meetings with the other 25 section presidents and the five major state officers throughout the year, and hold events like leadership training schools and also section banquets.
Jared Brown is from near Athens, Illinois, near the center of state, not too awfully far from Springfield, where he serves as Section 14 president. Jared, what's the most interesting thing that you've seen over the last, and have you been here since Sunday, too? Since Sunday, what's the most interesting thing you've seen here in Indianapolis?
I like seeing all the speakers that come each year. They help give you a new understanding on life, and I just think it's really exciting.
You know, one of the things that I found most disturbing, I think, when I was an FFAer and went to Kansas City for the National FFA Convention was all the cement, and that sort of bugged me as a part. Everybody's shaking their hands, all heads. The cement, it's kind of tough to get used to, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, I come from Athens, Illinois, as well, and I'm not used to being in this big of a city, but it's pretty cool to be able to come to a big city. I know living near Springfield that Springfield isn't really a buzzing metropolis, but coming here to Indianapolis, you get to see a lot of different things.
Sam Matera, State Vice President for the State of Illinois Association, FFA. Jared Brown joined us, Section 14 President. Ben Wormrest, Section 17 President, and Tanner Spittler, the State Reporter here at the National FFA Convention. Blue Jackets, bright futures. Gentlemen, thanks much and good luck. And have a good rest of the week. You've got, what, 2 days left or 1 day left?
Just Sunday.
Sunday through Sunday. So National FFA Convention taking place here. Very quickly, probably ought to check in on the cash grain market. And not too awfully far from Sibley, we're joined now by Bruce Bostard, who's in Paxton, Illinois. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Hi, Bruce. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Well, tell me about cash grain movement there, and I haven't been outside all day here. I don't think it's raining yet, but I'll bet it is there.
It is here. Started raining, sometime afternoon. We are all but done with harvest. We still have a little bit to wrap up, but harvest is normally a race to 95% done anyway. There was some down corn, and that's going to take a little while to clean up, but you know, for all intents and purposes, we've got enough space to put everything away. Actually, we picked one ground pile up this week. So,
have you heard much about nitrogen cost at this point from your farmers?
That has been quite a topic. It usually goes something like, wow, bids are up, that's a pretty good price, but boy, input costs sure are high too. And that's pretty much the general topic of conversation.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at $3.50 tonight at Paxton on nearby corn and $9.67 on soybeans. Bases continue to show some improvement this week.
Thank you much. We appreciate it, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Paxton in Ludlow, Illinois, where he serves as the general manager. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center about the agricultural weather forecast. I'm Todd Gleason at the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis, Indiana. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Unless he can get a court to extend his bond, former Illinois Governor George Ryan will have to report to prison November 7th. The federal judge who presided over Ryan's racketeering and fraud trial last year set the date this morning after hearing from attorneys. Ryan's defense is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to hear Ryan's appeal after an appeals court denied him a hearing before all 11 appellate judges. An Iraq war veteran has pleaded guilty to theft after he tried to sell two pieces of military equipment that he brought home with him. The U.S. attorney says Patrick Fitzsimmons of Potomac violated military procedures by packing a thermal weapon sight and night vision goggles with his personal belongings when he left Iraq last year. They say he pawned the goggles but was discovered when he tried to pawn the scope. The equipment is valued at more than $30,000. Fitzsimmons will spend a month in prison and 5 years under home detention under a plea agreement. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says the public is responding positively to his property tax reduction and restructuring plan. Daniels visited several cities over the past couple of days to tout his plan, and he says people have so far been supportive. Indiana lawmakers have expressed mixed opinions about the plan, which they expect to investigate in next year's General Assembly. Work is about to begin on a new dining hall and residence hall on the southwest side of the University of Illinois campus. What makes the residence hall unique is that it will integrate students with severe physical disabilities with the rest of the student body. The disabled students will move into one of the new building's wings from Beckwith Hall, a separate residence hall that's specifically equipped for students with disabilities. One student says there'll soon be a more higher-profile presence on the campus. The new residence hall and dining hall are going up adjacent to the current Gregory Complex, also known as the Six Pack. It's a smoother drive on Chicago's Dan Ryan Expressway now that a nearly two-year repaving and reconfiguration project is over. The work included creating longer entrance and exit ramps to increase merging space, drainage was improved, and more powerful light fixtures installed. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture, coming from you from Conseco, where the Pacers play in Indianapolis, Indiana, home to the National FFA Convention this week. In Indianapolis, a couple of notes about the FFA before we take up the weather segment with Steve Hilberg. The National FFA and the FFA organization is a very large organization. My personal view is that this is one of the reasons that the farm community, the agricultural community, is so successful in Washington, D.C. and other parts of our political life, because this organization trains leaders. It trains leaders each and every day. When they step into that blue jacket, they understand that they represent agriculture, that they are looking at a leadership program. And it is not only recognized, I suppose, by myself, but places like Kraft, where they look to leaders from the National FFA to fill their management positions. And the career fair here is filled with all kinds of organizations. If your high schooler is not involved in FFA, ask them to get involved in FFA. They will learn how to run a meeting. They will learn how to be leaders, and it will be very, very good for them. Another commentary from me, I guess that's two for the week, and that's probably enough. Let's talk a little bit about the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg is with us this afternoon. Steve, I butted into your bit for the afternoon, but I'll step out of the way. What kind of weather forecast we have for the weekend?
Well, improving, Todd. It's a pretty dreary day out there today across much of Illinois and parts of Indiana. Currently got some scattered rain south of Indianapolis right now, moving northward, so you guys probably see some showers before the day is out. But a much more solid band of rain extends pretty much all along right now and north of I-74 and arcs back across north of St. Louis. There is a low-pressure system now moving up through Illinois, which this is associated with somewhere between Springfield and Taylorville. And that'll continue moving and drifting northeastward and eventually get kicked out of here tonight as a cold front comes through. So tomorrow will probably end up being a cloudy day for the most part, but maybe improving by late in the day and cool. But we should start to see things warming up on Sunday and into early next week as the high that will be over us starts moving off to the east and we get into a return southerly airflow. So it looks pretty good for the next, once we get past today and tomorrow, it looks pretty good for the next several days and for the next week. I really don't see much in the way of rain coming in here. We could see some frosty weather, especially tomorrow night and Monday morning. Could see the first freezing temperatures for some parts of Illinois. But in general, pretty typical and quiet fall weather coming up here.
We appreciate that. Thanks much for joining us this afternoon, Steve.
Okay, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you today from the National FFA Convention. Blue Jackets, bright futures right here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Looks like I'll have a smooth ride if our folks in the news segment were correct on the Dan Ryan when I head to the USDA's user group for the national the National Agricultural Statistics Service meeting on Monday. Dave Dickey will be at the helm for the closing market report on that day. And thanks to him, by the way, for being at the helm back there at the station and putting everybody on the phone lines for me this afternoon. Dave, a tip of the hat to you. You have a great afternoon and a great weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.